Thank you. You may be seated. You know, we've gathered this morning, we witnessed the baptisms of two little ones, and we've heard the names of those who have entered into the church triumphant. But what is the connection here beyond the simple matter of entering into a life of faith and entering into eternal life? Looking quickly at the Lazarus scripture, the most powerful part of this scripture is when Jesus says to them, "Unbind Lazarus and let him go." To us, this is where we as the church, as people who profess Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world, it is here that we die to the bindings of death and to the bondages that hold us hostage in our lives that prevent us from truly understanding how to be restored to life through Christ. The call to Lazarus is to come forth, to leave the tomb behind. And Jesus Christ calls us forth to no lesser destiny in this age and in the age to come, to leave death and all its ways behind. And as he calls us to leave the tomb, we see in the story of the raising of Lazarus that he does indeed actually call us. He calls the community, and not simply as individuals, but as a community to support the deliverance of others from sin and from death as well. After all, Jesus enlisted some to roll away the stone. Now I ask, what stones are we helping to roll away from those who are left for dead? He commanded others to unbind him and set him free. What are we doing to set those who are being persecuted free? Because in raising Lazarus, Jesus not only restored him, but called the community around him to complete what he had begun. For this is the good news of life and death and of resurrection. This is the new life we're called to lead that's been given to us through the death of Christ on the cross. We're given a taste of that glory here with Lazarus, where we can see ourselves as those who have gathered with Christ. Martha and Mary, as they witnessed new life freely given, not just to Lazarus, but to everyone. To each of us, with no other stipulations other than to follow what Jesus has told us to do. And one of those things, along with sharing in the Last Supper, is to baptize in the name of God. So we have fulfilled that this day. And we made a commitment this morning to both Charlie and to Christine that we're going to nurture them and love them as beloveds of God our Creator. We're going to seek that in all places and in all times that they will know as they grow older that this is a place of trust and of hope in new life. And that we will answer the call when instructed because of who we are as the body of Christ. We are Christians. We openly profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I ask today again, what are we doing? What are we doing to roll away the stone from those who are left for dead in a spiritual, emotional, or a physical sense? What are we doing to help loosen the bonds that are keeping others in captivity of sin and death? Are we that open, welcoming community we think we are when we look in the mirror? Or are we just emptily saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, and the one coming into the world"? Well, I believe we're the first one, aren't we? I believe we are the one, but as Granddaddy always said, there's room for improvement, right? Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God. I invite you now to turn to page 14 as we pick up with the service of the great Thanksgiving this morning as we celebrate with one another, with all those who have gone before us, and with those who are newly baptized this morning. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to those seated with him and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you shall in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, blessed it, and gave it to those seated with him and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from this as often as you shall in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with our Lord, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Because we are one body, we share in one loaf. When we break bread together, we are sharing in Christ with one another. For this is the cup of forgiveness that has been poured freely for each of us. Thanks be to God. This is not a United Methodist table. This is not Port Washington's table. This is our Lord's table that is open to all who profess Christ as their Savior. This morning, we will receive communion by intention. You'll be directed up the center aisle. Please form two lines and alternate as you come up to receive the bread and the blood of Christ this morning. Pat, Pastor Romy. Can you take a chalice, please? Thank you.
which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.